Today, there are more mazes in the world than ever before, and more being constructed every year. It is no overstatement, writes the maze maker, Adrian Fisher, to say that we are living through the greatest golden age of mazes. But mazes are not comfortable places. The entrance to the Forbidden Corner maze garden in North Yorkshire is an animatronic monster's mouth, which burps and wiggles its fleshy uvula as you're swallowed along its gullet. A maze is disconcerting, specifically designed to wrong-foot you, to scatter your bearings. As a rule, we take care not to get lost, so why should we willingly enter a maze? Why was Alice burning to step into the rabbit hole? That's from the opening chapter of Follow This Thread, a maze book to get lost in, by Henry Elliott, and illustrations, importantly, by Queeb. Well, mazes have intrigued humankind for ages, and I mean literally for ages. Today's book does them justice, and so much more, taking us back into the misty depths of time, sharing mythical stories of heroes who braved the mazes that sought to confuse and even kill them, opening our eyes to the many defensive meanings behind their creation and implementation, and sharing the wizard-like preparation that many cultures, old and new, have utilized to bring mazes to life. Now, I'll be up front. The book tells its true stories with a minimum background and a focus on the gotcha nature of the story being told. So this is not a compendium of mazes information that delves deeply into the history, culture, economics of mazes. There are ample references to ancient Greek mythology and even older Middle Eastern stories. The Epic of Gilgamesh pops up in here. But as well, there are plenty of dollops of modern-day mazes presented, too, for our intellectual and adrenaline-crazed culture. For we take note of such early modern video games as Pac-Man and Quest. Indeed, an early chapter titled Quest begins with that very modern-day tale of heroism, and we then circle way back in time, within just a page or so, to the Greek myth of Theseus and his heroic quest, and then leaping off into a short disquisition about traditional African Zulu games that involve mazes, then plunges us headlong into an ancient Indian Sanskrit maze, a battle story from the Mahabharata, jumping then forward in time and space to Tudor-aged England, complete with princes and princesses and mazes of many, spinning adroitly into Umberto Eco's tale of medieval Christian whodunit, The Name of the Rose. And then onto the maze culture found on the Pacific Island nation today of Vanuatu. That's all in one chapter. We go on to experience mazes from around the world and, of course, from around time. Yet for all the seeming skimming of the surface nature my description may offer, mazes is no less a page-turner, and more than once a head-scratcher of a book. It truly has that can't-put-it-down pull to it. I mentioned the ancient Greek tale of Theseus earlier, and I mentioned the Greek hero once again, as his quests are a thread, both a literal illustrative thread and a framing mode that runs throughout the book, pun intended. It is perhaps impossible, or at the least improbable, that a book about mazes would not take us, therefore, into the wonderland maze of King Minos of Crete, complete with damsel in distress, evil, jealous, bull-like Minotaur, and, of course, our dashing young male hero, Theseus. And mazes delights in telling the tale more than once in its pages, as I said earlier, always with a particular aspect of human character revealed by the maze at hand. Two, there is a whiff of the philosophical in this book. Its final chapter, titled Lost, takes us in and out of the individual human responses of losing oneself that commitment to a maze can bring. As our author writes, "Unless you err, says the devil Mephistopheles in Goethe's Faust, naught can truly be known." The pleasure of mazes is not in being lost, but in what is found through being lost. If you surrender yourself to the maze, you stop worrying about finding the correct way, and there is a liberating, euphoric sense of freedom. Not until we are lost, in other words, not till we have lost the world, wrote Henry David Thoreau in Walden, do we begin to find ourselves. and realize where we are and the infinite extent of our relations. Through being lost, we become better aware of ourselves. The process is not straightforward. Letting go entails a physical and mental journey through error, fear, and self-acknowledgement. The right way to wholeness is made up, unfortunately, of fateful detours and wrong turnings, wrote Carl Jung. It is not straight, but snake-like. Those labyrinthine twists and turns are not lacking in terrors. And not only Goethe and Henry David Thoreau, but José Borges and Picasso. This is certainly a book that takes its philosophical musings seriously. I will say then, when I first read the blurbs on the back of this book, and I do that, beckoning me to open its pages and savor its reading and especially visual delights, I was more than a little skeptical that the format of the book would be as engaging as it is. For the text and the illustrations, you see, meander up, down, around the pages, bringing a real-time maze to one's reading. The reader needs to literally turn the book itself first up, then down, then maybe sideways, then maybe up again, then maybe down again, to read the story's text, understand the illustration. But by gosh, it works. I was drawn into the active sense of reading about mazes and enjoyed the book more than a little because of its funky presentation. Finally, it is worth noting that the index, of all things, to this fanciful look at a particularly long-lasting fascination with the mind and the arts, ends with a compilation of the many different mazes referenced in the book, is filtered through the human mind. To those of us who begin the book with a gauzy sense of a one-dimensional maze on paper, or perhaps a three-dimensional maze of shrubberies on some grand palatial estate, both of those are in here, the book's index is a fetching way to end our journey, opening our eyes to the many mazes that are to be found in literature, mazes in real life, mazes featuring those minotaur beasts. And indeed, page references, if you want to go back and check them out, if you've kind of rushed over them or forgotten them by the time we end our journey. The reader of the book finishes with a chapter titled Mouth that leaps forward in the book's layout, but then meanders backward into the smaller numbered pages. It's literally a chapter that you have to flip the book around to read. A fitting conclusion to a book of mazes which bolt forward, then meander back upon themselves, and then kind of sneak forward again. Like so much in this marvelous piece of reading and art, even the final chapter presents us with a tactile and reading sensibility that is new, fresh, and just a little side of unsettling to our conventional experience of life. I want to end the review by reading from that final chapter, Mouth. It begins this way. Theseus's ship, with its black sails, remained in the harbor long after his death. Every time one of the old planks decayed, it was replaced. When the sails developed mildew, new sails were fitted. When the ropes gave out, modern sheets were added. Gradually, the entire ship was replaced, piece for piece, until nothing of the original remained, and now the vessel presents a paradox. Is it the same ship on which Theseus returned from Crete, or a different one? The same question might be asked of mazes. To what extent do meanings persist through the changing forms of labyrinths and mazes and the myriad stories we tell about them? Like all works of art, a maze is a conversation, an exposition by the maker and a response from the walker. Each encounter with a maze is different, but the meeting always acts as a mirror. You emerge with a better knowledge of yourself. Our perception of reality is based on shadows thrown onto the wall in front of us. It is the role of the philosopher to break us free, says Plato, and struggle out of the cave, up a steep and rugged ascent into the sunshine. There, once the philosopher's eyes have grown accustomed to the light, he will perceive truth and the nature of reality. Knowledge alone will not be enough, however. The philosopher will wish to return and emancipate his fellows, but when he returns to the cave, he will not be able to see so well in the darkness. There will be many jokes about the man who went on a visit to the sun and lost his eyes, writes Plato. And if the philosopher is subsequently discovered trying to enlighten anyone, the intolerant cave dwellers will execute him. Leaving a labyrinth is dangerous. Perhaps it would be safer to stay inside, to turn back to the comforting quarters, not to risk stepping outside the walls. In André Gide's novella, Thies, Daedalus reveals his ultimate secret. To keep anyone in the labyrinth, the best thing was to ensure not so much that he would not be able to leave, but that he would not wish to leave. What a great way to end a book that actually you won't want to leave once you start it. I was really taken by this. Follow This Thread, a Maze book to get lost in by Henry Elliott, illustrated by Queeb, and featuring Theseus, the Minotaur, Crete, and mazes from around the world and from around time. It's quite an exciting read. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.